Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
I had a quote from Abraham Lincoln. In the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years.
Hey, you guys, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. You heard a few things going on there. First of all, you heard a little snippet of a piece called Midnight on Water, played on a hammer dulcimer, performed by Wendy Gruthin, and she's our guest today, and we're going to talk about the dulcimer, but that's not why we're having her here. But we did touch on it in the conversation. She teaches and obviously plays quite nicely. You heard her read an Abraham quote, which I think is a great quote because it seems like it sums up kind of a lot of what she's trying to bring to the community and help people experience to have more life in their years. Our main focus today is talking about Wendy and Wendy Up North, which is where you can find pretty much everything we're going to talk about today. But I wanted to bring her on because of the Up North excursions. So she does day trips, and basically it is an opportunity for people to go and explore these trips that she has put together up north. So you can imagine that most of them are Minnesota, Wisconsin, but she does have some trips down to the Twin Cities, and she may explore a little beyond that as well. But it's an opportunity if you're somebody who you don't have somebody to go with, or you have a couple people but you don't want to drive. Somebody else takes care of kind of all of the details, and you just say, hey, I want to do that. Yep, I'm good on that day. And you get to go with other folks, so you can connect with other people if you want to, or hang out with your group. But I wanted to share because I think it's a great opportunity. You know, they're looking at her trips, and I have paid attention to what she's been doing for a while. You know, there's some things I'm aware of, some things I'm not aware of, some things that are just totally new. Her focus is supporting an experience through arts, music, history, and nature. So I'm going to let her tell you her story and all the great things that she's got going on. We do talk about the trips and which ones she has coming up this summer and beyond. And we're going to talk about the other things that she does. She does a ton of stuff. I need to like follow her around and know how she does all of these things and still keeps this like calm and even keeled demeanor. We're going to learn a little bit about the dulcimer and her teaching, as well as her love of history and some of the talks and films that she has made, some Duluth focused and beyond. We'll touch on her publication, Look at Lakeside, as well as the local art and gift fairs that she puts together each year. She talks at the end about calling herself a CEO or a community enhancement organizer. And I think that that's actually a really a great description with all the stuff she's doing. She's really supporting a lot of people and a lot of community out there. Just a couple quick things before we jump in. At the end, I am going to share with you a food that actually Wendy happened to send me. It was kind of completely off the subject of what we're talking about today. She knows I do a lot of work with food sensitivities, and she brought this to my attention, and I definitely want to share. And then I also have a little product recommendation for you. I found an app through a friend, actually. The friend found the app and shared it with me, but I'm going to share it with you because I think it's pretty darn cool. Before we dive into Wendy's conversation, I want to just thank you all for listening, and please remember that supporting the podcast by sharing the episode with anybody who might find it interesting, or the podcast for people who might be interested in our varied subjects, means a ton. Thank you so much. Share the emails if you're on our email list. If you're not and you'd like to get it in your inbox, we just send an email when we put out the episode. Gives you the link, the information. Please do that. It's a great way to keep on top of what we're doing. And any events also that we happen to have will show up in that email as well. So please go to wellnessrenpodcast.com and look on the left and you can sign up for that email. Don't hesitate to pass that on as well. Please do remember that your support via Patreon is completely beyond what I can express in value. And thank you. I want to thank the people who have supported me through Patreon. Whether you are a dollar a month or a $20 a month person, I love you, love you, love you. I really do. It means a lot. Your consistent support, just so, so appreciative. Thank you. Let's head on in with Wendy. Welcome, Wendy.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for joining me on the podcast. You have a lot of stuff going on. And so today we're going to spend most of our time talking about your excursions and day trips and maybe some longer trips that you're doing too. But you have your hands in a lot of really cool stuff. So I want you to introduce yourself and kind of share a little bit about all of those things. And yeah, people might know you from a bunch of places. So share what you do.
Well, one of the more recent things that I've been trying to put together for people are day trips. This is my fourth year of offering day trips. And I was doing more summer or spring, fall. And then there was a request to do winter, so year-round trips. And all the trips are arts, music, history, and nature. And we go to museums, we go to performing theaters, we go to special events, music festivals, different things. So it's been fun each year to come up with a trip list. Sometimes there's repeat trips, but often it's new. Like we went to Cranberry Fest last year and could even tour a marsh where the cranberries grow and the farmers are doing their growing.
Cool.
But this year it's going to be back at Bayfield Apple Fest. So getting to partake in some of the Northland's talent, events, different things going on. So this year I have four trips in June, which is more than I usually have, but there's a lot of things to do. One is a garden tour in Bayfield. Bayfield is fun to go to almost any time. We've been to Big Top Chautauqua shows. We've been to different things. And then it's the 20th year of a Scandinavian folk music fest in Nisswa. So we did it last year, and we're going to go again for that one. I'm offering that on the second Saturday of June. And then part of history is lumberjack activities, and there's the entertaining competition of lumberjacks in Hayward. They have a whole facility there, and we'll go to that in June. And then Land of the Loon in Virginia is an art fair, so that's coming up too for a June trip.
Okay. And you've got some going on through the summer and the fall too. So you're kind of prepping for things available in the fall as well, right?
Right. They're all announced through October. I may add something November, December, but I don't have anything picked out yet. I typically don't do July just because summers are so short and there's a lot of things going on right in Duluth, right in the Twin Ports.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I'm new this year. We'll be going to the State Fair. So really for the trips, to instead of everyone driving separately, this is kind of a way to carpool and one vehicle goes on. Because even the state fair I had calculated, and these are trips that I'm not trying to get 50 people to go on the big bus. There's a littler bus, so I'm looking for about 20 participants. But for the going to the state fair, like it's about 300 miles round trip plus parking, you know, to have a car, your vehicle in a parking spot versus one bus. If 15 vehicles went separately, like two per car, then that's 4,500 miles and 15 cars on the road and in the parking lot. And there's enough of that already. So it's kind of healthier on the environment, healthier in many ways, and saving gas on your vehicle to hop up, just sit on the bus. And then it could be social, of either come with a girlfriend, or it's been mostly females attending.
Uh-huh.
So come with a friend or come with a spouse, whoever, and then you get a chat during the drive down and don't have to bother with driving.
Right.
And or quite a few people have come on their own, then they meet other people.
Oh, right. Exactly. So it's kind of that social aspect of, if you want to go to the fair, but you don't want to go by yourself, or there's this group going and you can meet them on the bus and hang out or read a book if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So for somebody who they want to go for one day, but that drive you know, the driving back, not having to drive back from the day, being able to, you know, zone out or take a nap on the way back is kind of nice.
Take a nap, yeah.
And just, yeah, just not having to figure all of the stuff out. So you're doing all the work for people, and all they have to do is connect with you and say, okay, I want to be a part of the trip. Right.
Right.
And so these events, I can imagine, like the fair, you get there and maybe some people hang out together and some people go off and do their own thing.
Right. And then we just give a meetup time
to come back. Okay. And then there's others. I know I saw, like, in the past we went to Chanhassen Dinner Theater. So that's probably, I would imagine, a little more, get on the bus, go down there, go do your thing all together and then come back.
That one included a meal. Some of the trips have meals included, and that one, you know, we had seating chart and everything for our specific tables. And
right.
So for fun, I had named each table a song from the program. So there was the Easter Parade table, Blue Skies, and, you know, so we had that as a way. And I grouped people who came together to sit together, of course, but sometimes there was a group of two, and then they were at the table of six.
Oh, sure.
So they got to meet others.
Right. So, yeah, social within your group, social with new people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just having different experiences that somebody might not even know this thing is available or quite know what they're getting into, and it's kind of nice to dive into something new sometimes with some other people. You have this kind of attention on the environment, and like you were talking about, looking at how many miles are saved with taking one bus down there versus all the cars. So you're kind of looking at these also from an environmental standpoint as well.
Right.
And an educational standpoint. So your history, you were a teacher.
I've done teaching biology, but then I've also taught an assortment of community ed classes.
How long were you a biology teacher?
About 15 years. Okay. I taught in Illinois, Champaign, Illinois, at Parkland College, but then I taught at Fond du Lac Tribal Community College up here and DBU, which has since closed.
So you've got like a long history of doing that. And thinking of the trips that you're doing, it seems like it's like this next extension. And I know you've mentioned that to me when we've talked, it's kind of like the field trips, but for adults.
Right, and no test. But to have, I think, some of the better parts of the biology classes was when we did go to field trips, whether to a brewery, you know, it's yeast. How do you make the yeast happy so they do what they do? Or wastewater treatment process. Water, it's the same water. How do we clean water? We use water to clean things. Mm-hmm. How do we clean the water? Mm-hmm. So going on some of these tours, like we went to the Bear Center and learned behind the scenes at the bear, what do they feed the bears up in Ely at that Bear Center. So through field trips, through people asking questions, you know, when it is a more of a tour-led thing, again, some of these are more just fun. And the Scandinavian Folk Music Fest, you know, oh, what is that instrument? Oh, a nickel harpa? Well, I've never seen one. I've never heard one. So there are opportunities to see new things, and then people have their own experiences and background for what is new to them. To be honest, some of these destinations have been brand new to me, and then like Chanhassen Dinner Theater, I hadn't been there before. But sometimes for a little bit of the educator in me, I do make little question slips, and on the bus ride we go over the questions, and I have prizes like different things about cranberries, and then we did a little question and answer thing.
Cool. So there's that opportunity to engage a little bit more with your trip potentially or what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I always loved field trips. Not only do you get out of school, but you do learn differently. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes fun to go with that group of people just because people ask different questions and get you engaged differently than you might engage on your own.
Right.
Which is cool. So I can imagine, yeah, that your teaching background kind of just brings that whole concept of pulling those things together and making it fun for people.
Yeah, I like education opportunities, and I think these trips are creating that. And in many ways, another feature about them is they're supporting things in the Northland that are, again, arts, music, history, nature. So just the admission is included when they go on the trips. So whether it's supporting the Bear Center, whether it's supporting the theater production, the Guthrie Theater, the different places we've gone, the Minnesota Zoo, so that then can be part of conservation, part of just keeping those organizations or places or special events going.
So you mentioned that it's typically women that go on these trips. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about kind of the, I'm thinking a few things. I'm thinking, you know, what age group it's open to all, or are kids welcome on all or some of them? And then what about accessibility issues for older folks or people who are having walking issues or those types of things?
Yeah, the average age, I'm not asking their age or anything, but from what I see, believed to be, the average age is 55 to 70s or so. But I know there have been some ladies in their 80s and even in the 90s.
Wow.
And they go.
That's awesome.
So they get to be venturing out. You know, they would not be driving to the places.
Right. Well, and how great is that? I mean, to be able to, yeah, go. You don't have to worry about the car. You don't have to worry about your parent driving, you know. But a great way to get out and go and hang out with some people or some friends.
And there have been intergenerational people coming, like the mother, daughter, both daughter in grade school. So the lower age, I'm saying, is about 12
okay.
to come. And then, but yeah, there's been adult daughter and then the senior mother coming, like on the Rittenhouse, again, going to good old Bayfield. We go there. It's a nice town. So to have that. There have been a few people that have brought walkers, and then some people are asking for wheelchairs, and that's trickier because there isn't that facility with the bus, and then at the places, I do ask how many steps there are, like, to the seating area, and the place can sometimes do some options to not have as many steps available, but the true wheelchair, unfortunately, isn't available at this time.
Okay. Okay, so if somebody does have some mobility issues, it's worth talking to you about and just saying, here's where I'm at, or here's what I might need, or here's what I think I could do. Because, you know, I'm thinking if you go to the Minnesota State Fair, you kind of know what you're getting into potentially, and you can go at your own pace, right?
Right. Some people can cover miles at the fair, and some might just go a little bit and
right.
sit on a bench and watch people.
Right. So worth asking you about if it's an issue or not, and you can probably get that information of how many steps. Are we talking a lot of walking? Are we talking a lot of incline? Or, you know, that kind of thing. Is that something that makes sense for them to call and ask you about?
And then the question comes up, are we stopping during the drive for bathroom stop?
Ah, yes.
And we do a stop on the way down. You know, when it's a Twin Cities, we'll do a stop on the way down and a stop on the way back up.
Okay.
And then, and there is a bathroom on the bus that we typically use.
Okay. So that might be an option as well. Right. Mm-hmm. Which is just nice. It's just nice to know it's there.
Yeah.
But yeah, what a great way. I mean, I've lived in Duluth many years, but I spent a lot of the time in school and education, and I didn't get to a lot of these things. So I look at a lot of your trips when they come up, I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. Or, oh, I don't know a whole lot about that. And it would be fun. I should be taking advantage of these just for the sake of learning all of these things that are around here, you know. I imagine, like, you know, I saw that you guys went to the Renaissance Festival and things like that, too. So in that type of situation, do you typically go up to the door and then
right.
the bus goes and parks, right?
Right.
Okay. So just less walking in that, if that's a concern for somebody.
Mm-hmm. And then some of the day trips are during the week and some are retired. With the age of in the 50s, 60s, you know, not everyone is retired. Some of the
right.
attendees are retired, but some aren't. So then they look for the weekend or depending on their work schedule, sometimes weekday work still. Sometimes I'm trying as much to be daytime trip, so I haven't really done a theater night performance except for the Big Top Chautauqua because that's when theirs were. But I look for matinees just so we can leave in the day
okay.
and get back in the day.
Okay.
Although with adding the winter trips, then we did get back at dark.
Right. Right. So the fair one, how long is the Minnesota State Fair? Like how when do you leave? When do you come back?
So that one has longish day, but plenty of opportunities at the fair. We would leave at 8, and we've been leaving from Perkins West location. Leave
okay.
at 8 and get back about 7.
Okay. So it's a day of you're getting there at like 10:30-ish. mm-hmm. and leaving at 5.
So you have a good 5 hours at okay. the fair.
Yep. Okay. And your trips have been day trips for the most part. But what about the idea of, are you thinking about doing some overnight or extended trips?
And this year was the first year I was ready to try that. And it's a whole different thing of hotel and single occupancy and double occupancy and then all the meals and multiple stops during the day. But I do like to pack things in. And I had arranged a tulip festival and a trip to the tulip festival in Pella, Iowa, and going to the manna colonies, but that unfortunately didn't make this year. That was my first trip. And then I do have a Wisconsin Dells trip where we would go to on the tour of the house on the rocks and go on a duck boat ride.
Okay.
And also do some other stops along the way.
Okay. And that's a multiple day.
So that's a
trip.
2-3 day, 2 night. And maybe in the future I do something in the UP or like Door County or.
Okay.
I don't know if people do like the North Woods, and I don't know if Iowa was too not as wooded woods, and people like staying north.
So it's a south for an up north kind of thing, but interesting too, because with the tulips, I'm just curious about the tulip thing. Is that someplace you've been before?
I have not. So okay, it was, I did a lot of calls. I had been in contact with the visitor bureau, and had the restaurant. You know. Family style eating at the Ox Yoke Inn and different places, but that one didn't happen. Okay. I had not been there before, and I knew the Michigan has one, but that's much further of a drive. So this one, someone who went to it recently, they raved about it and just said, yeah, it's so much fun with the parades and the tour and just seeing tulips that, you know, they're ahead of us season-wise further south.
Right.
So it was based on a previous participant's recommendation to do it. And some of these trips are people kind of requesting them. Just like the Bayfield Apple Fest was a request to do it again. Otherwise, they have kept doing, for the most part, new trips.
Okay, okay. But some of those old favorites maybe pop up again, so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I haven't done, you know, an exact repeat schedule each year.
Sure. So it's worth mentioning to you if somebody is excited about something to pass it on.
Right.
Why don't I have you give the website to find the trips that are planned this year?
So for the trips, for people to find out about the trips, they can go to www.wendyupnorth.com. I also have an e-newsletter they can sign up for, and I about once a month send out something of a reminder of when deadlines are coming up. I do have deadlines for the trip, just I need a minimum by such and such date to call a trip a go. But the e-newsletter, and then I do a Facebook, Up North Excursions on Facebook, too.
Okay. Yeah, a great way to keep up with what you're doing and what's coming out. Oh, and you had just mentioned, you had said that you typically take the smaller buses. Is that kind of the plan? Or if you had if 50 people come and say, we want to go to the fair, you'd work on getting a larger bus?
Right. I would go higher for if enough people were signing up.
Okay.
The Rittenhouse trip, we did the Wassail trip this last December, which was the first winter trip. I just added it in October. So many people said they wanted to go. So I picked a date. And it sold out, and I asked for more tickets, and Rittenhouse gave some more tickets, but then that was all they had, and all those sold out.
Oh, wow.
So we were on a bigger bus for that one.
What is that? I'm not familiar with that.
It's a historic bed and breakfast building or home, and then you have a lunch with it, which is kind of an old-fashioned lunch, and there's some meal options to it, but you're in their dining room. There are multiple very decorated for the holidays room. Each room has a fireplace. And then these Wassail old-time Victorian singers come in dressed like the olden days. There was live music of a oboe and piano player. And then the singers come and surround the tables. So they come in and come out, and they're all around you singing these old-time Christmas carols.
Oh, neat.
So
what a cool experience.
Several people had been there many, many times. It was my first time. And you just filled with the music because it's around you.
Right.
You know, it's right behind you.
Oh, wow. That sounds awesome. I don't think I've ever heard of that before. That's really interesting.
Even the flaming dessert. And you could have figgy pudding and some of these kind of old-time names. You're actually getting to hear the song or taste the food.
Yeah. Oh, I love stuff like that. That is so cool.
And with that trip, there happened to be more people from Superior going. And since we were going to Bayfield, I added additional pickup spot too.
Okay.
Perkins in Superior.
Just kind of making it worth, you know, knowing your audience basically and where people are coming from and what makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just say I usually put together 10 or so trips per year, and having that people can sign up. And if they, within the same year, like in 2019, if they go on two trips, then their third trip is $10 off.
Oh, nice.
So a little
discount.
Discount special. Yeah. And yeah, it's been nice to have returning people, and then you get to know them a little better, and then there's always new people. Some people have come as a group, like there was a bridge group from Superior,
and
then they
cool.
did kind of an outing together.
Okay.
And so that was good. So if any, I've tried to let churches know or different things, you know, if there's a group that wants to come.
Brilliant idea. Like, yeah, like, well, because sometimes when you're trying to pull together in a group, you've got enough people, but not quite enough people to really do the group. And what a great way to kind of hop on the work that you're doing and bring that smaller group there. So if you don't have enough for your own group to get a bus or a van, well, I see what you've got going on. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Okay. I hadn't thought of that. That's a great idea.
I'd love to see... like caregivers in the client or different things like that come. And I would be fine, you know, working discount price or something, you know, like for the caregiver that needs to accompany, you know, as long as it's not wheelchair.
Right.
But if someone has some other disability or something
that's fantastic. Especially if you're willing to work with that, because you're right, sometimes that's the challenge there too, is a financial piece or having it be twice as much. So Okay, that it's great to know that you're open to that, because it makes sense that you would be, but that you're comfortable with that is good to know.
Yeah, I'm just trying to meet the minimum number of people too, so
right,
some trips have been canceled because there weren't enough, but I've been trying to grow. And then also I know not everyone does internet. That's happened a lot of seniors. I don't do computer.
Okay,
so I do a level of a mailing list too.
Okay, so yeah, let's talk about that, because you're right, not everybody's on the web. If somebody is interested but they're not web savvy, or how do they reach you?
So yeah, I can give my phone number, 218-525-5098. And people could give me their address, and then I mail them the current trip list. So then they know. And the trip list is, you know, has the departure times, the deadlines, the prices, what's included. Versus I do put posters in assorted places. I'm trying to put them at the coffee shops and different places, and even at the library. To, again, at least give the dates and the place. But for the more specific detail of time, then just give me a call if they're not able to get onto the website.
Let's see. Anything else about the trips that I'm forgetting to ask or that you want to mention?
I had a quote from Abraham Lincoln. In the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years.
Aha.
And I know from personal experience, I like to travel and go places. And yes, traveling can be getting on a plane and going farther. And I've even done some volunteering abroad, like going to Nepal, teaching English. But I think just it's rewarding and fun experiences, and give something for people to look forward to and something for people to talk about after. I know people have talked to me about many other trips they've been on, and they've enjoyed it. So I feel like it's sort of enriching people's lives to get out and go places. And in the Northland here, yes, there's Twin Cities area has more places and museums and events. Like the Festival of Nations, that was really fun, mm-hmm. that cultural event of mm-hmm. the foods and the dances and the costume outfits. So there's going to there, but I don't want all the trips to only be going to the Twin Cities back and forth. So it's like Bayfield or Stone Lake, the Cranberry Fest. I've offered a trip north to Nanabijou Lodge and have tea Ooh. There, but that one didn't make, so I don't know.
All right, that sounds like fun. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like fun. Anytime there's tea involved, I'm interested.
So just to find some places around and sometimes to string some events together. Like I did do a triple event the first year where we went to Little Falls, Minnesota, and went to Charles Lindbergh's boyhood home. Then went to St. John's Abbey, and a brother came out to talk to us about the building made of the local materials and the Abbey Church. And then we went to this garden of a former sawmill location along the Mississippi River, and that is now a public gardens, beautiful Munsinger Gardens in St. Cloud.
Oh, cool.
So that was a kind of going west, southwest tour and come back around.
Neat. Yeah, well, stuff, I mean, just how many things do we sort of not do? You know, we don't play tourists in our own city and state sometimes. And to have an opportunity to do that or to be made aware. Or if you are somebody who just doesn't have a group of friends to do some of this stuff with, or there's something you want to do that nobody else wants to do, great way to get out and not have to go by yourself and meet some new people. You know, it's, as we get older, it's harder to meet new folks, you know, sometimes. And what a great opportunity to meet some people who are interested in doing the same thing you are.
And these events, you know, some are events, some are open, you know, either year round or just for the season. And I'm just sort of randomly picking a date, but some of them are events. And to go to the Land of the Loon Fest, and then it could be supporting local artists too, or area artists.
Right.
So to me, I use the wording, we're exploring the Northland as we do these trips. And again, we're supporting the Northland of getting to do this. As I did my taxes this year, over $3,600 from 2018 because of these trips all went directly to the places we went to. So to the Guthrie Theater, to the Minneapolis Institute of Art, to Como Park Conservatory, to the Minnesota Zoo. So we're also supporting them through the admission prices, mm-hmm. but then also as people buy food at a place or buy the stuffed animal. I brought home a red panda stuffed uh-huh. animal. So different things, then that's additional support for the area.
Right. So let's talk about some of the other stuff you do, because you've got a lot of stuff going on. And I just want to share with people kind of just the richness of all of the things you do. So you talked about teaching community ed classes. What have you taught maybe, but do you have anything that's coming up?
Well, for classes, I was teaching back in Champaign, Illinois, when I lived down there. But I've been teaching mountain dulcimer classes to learn to play that folk instrument, American folk instrument. And then I've developed different history programs, including two videos of the local history of Lakeside neighborhood, the history of the Lincoln Park neighborhood, the early days. And then I have a PowerPoint I've presented multiple times, early days of Minnesota Point, of the activity that the settlers, the businesses, the schools, the churches that were part of the early people coming to this area. And then for community ed, I branch out into other things, like having been to Nepal, having been on an elephant now, and bathing with the elephants, I researched elephants to really compare. There's African elephants, but there's Asian elephants. And the Asian elephants are more related to mastodons than the others. So there's
interesting.
Just learning more about an animal has been another program that I had developed. And then biographies. I had done one on Frank Lloyd Wright because we've stayed in one of his houses in Minnesota and been to a hotel of his, been to places, and then just his contributions in his life. As I'm a daughter of an architect, that I, you know, was aware of some of them and had visited some in Pennsylvania and different ones, but to make a little program of his build, his construction that he's done, design, but then also his life.
I love your varied interests are so fascinating. It's very cool. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a lot of things. That's great. Okay, those are the classes that you do.
I do present also to groups. So like I'm presenting at the ARP group coming up.
So if somebody's interested in the things you're talking about, and they have a group, they could get a hold and say, hey, come on, do your class for us.
Right, I'm available to present to groups.
Cool. And you have a newsletter, Look at Lakeside. So talk about what that is a little bit and then where, you know, where somebody would find that and who gets that or what area Look at Lakeside includes.
So Look at Lakeside, I started in the late summer 2012. And every 2 months I put together this 8-page newsletter that has information, little articles on what's going on now, what's coming up, some history. I interview someone, meet a neighbor, and just to share more about Lakeside. I do live in Lakeside and wanted to know myself, partly, you know, I live on McCulloch Street. Who is McCulloch? Mm. Hugh McCulloch. And so being curious, and it's been fun to find out things, again, history-wise or what's going on. And then a part of me is also wanting to share fundraiser information. So I'll also include some dates for, you know, they're not necessarily happening in Lakeside, but it's a community fundraiser, whether supporting animals, supporting people in need, different things. So that's usually a part of it. And it's online at www.lookatlakeside.com. So some people can read there. I have the e-newsletter that lets you know when the next issue is out. And then it's distributed for free at the Super One in Lakeside, the New London Cafe, Sammy's Pizza, other coffee areas, dental office, Essentia, St. Luke's, the waiting rooms there.
Okay.
Over 20 places. And then there are some subscribers that are supporting it.
Oh, nice. Okay. And the online version is in color, I saw.
Right. Right. Printing in color is expensive.
It is, yes.
But yeah, the online one has the pictures in color.
It's 8 pages, so it's quick and it's friendly, but there's a lot packed in there. So it's really informative and it looks really nice.
I look at filling 8 pages, and at the beginning there's a little anxiety of how am I going to fill it? And then it turns into, I have to make the picture smaller so I can fit more. Or there goes the white space because why don't I just announce this too?
Right. I can imagine being way more than you anticipate. Mm-hmm. I love it. And like you said, you teach dulcimer. Do you do that? You do that in community ed? Do you do that privately as well?
Right. I do private lessons. People come over from that live in Duluth, but then people have come from Gordon, Wisconsin, Moose Lake. They come from other areas too for either the mountain dulcimer lessons or hammer dulcimer lessons.
Okay.
I do that.
And I have no idea what the difference is, but is it a different tone? I assume it's a different tone they create, but do the instruments look very different?
Right. The instruments are completely different. The mountain dulcimer is also called the lap dulcimer.
Okay.
It's elongated and either hourglass shape or teardrop shape, and traditionally just 3 strings, and you strum it or finger pick it. The hammer dulcimer is not American. It's from Persia area, and it's trapezoid shape with 2 bridges, and the strings go over the bridges, and there's a note on each side, and you play with 2 little hammers.
Oh, neat.
Mallets.
Oh, okay, with mallets.
Hammers. Okay. It's like a spoon on the side.
Okay.
Wooden.
Intriguing. Wow.
So the word dulcimer means sweet music. So you'll see dulces with food or with treats. I think there's some gelato stores that will be dulce.
Okay.
So sweet music, dulcimer.
Oh, interesting.
But they have no relation. I just happen to play both. Some people play one or the other. I happen to play both. And then for Duluth, for 16 years, I put on a Dulcimer Day in Duluth festival that had 20-some workshops in it, and for people to learn either of those and different skill levels. But then there were other instruments like auto harp and harmonica and other things. And then I brought in national champion players. I looked that they were good musicians and good teachers, because again, the education part of me, and then I taught some classes too, but those were held. And right now I'm on break. I don't know if I'll resume that again, but for 16 years in a row, I did that as a May activity.
Okay. And then you also do a bunch of local art fairs too.
Right. So the Wendy Up North local fairs are all local people. I do accept like North Shore and South Shore, but I don't have Twin Cities people participating. I get a lot of calls, but they're held in different churches or community centers, and some have been going 12 years now. They have different names, like Get It Local, and then there was Treasures of the Earth that was just in March, and that one has a theme of things made of natural material or recycled material.
Okay.
So it's part challenging people. Some people are doing it anyways of what they use, reusing things, but some people it made a challenge for them, and they came up with some creative things. And then, I have one in July, the last Saturday of July, called Woman Made. So it's all female artisans of the area, and that one will include some food at it too. I've been having some bakers contact me to have it, a bread baker and the macaroon, French macaroons.
Mm.
So that's been fun to have people who get into making things, because I think passion is a part of life and should be. You know, I think we should do what we love.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, to me, I like going places. But doing what you love. So if someone loves to paint, loves to make jewelry, loves to do things, then the art fairs end up being a place where they can sell the stuff, partly because there can be material costs, and you know, they've put money into it,
right?
And they've given it to their family and friends already, so they still have more that they've made. So the art fairs, I call them local art and gift fairs. They're affordable items. You know, they set the price, so it's a challenge for them. How are they going to display it? What are they going to charge people? And for many of the people that have been in the fairs over the last 12 years, it has been their first fair. And there have been even a handful of youth that have been in it too, that are raising money, like to go to France
for
a trip.
Okay.
But I feel like they're win-win-win things, that it's the artists get to sell what they make. They get to connect with people who like to buy local. So the local people, and the July one has out-of-town tourists from Duluth also coming to a place to buy Duluth area-made items. So then they're getting the opportunity to buy local-made and meet the person making the
stuff. Right, which is nice to make that connection.
So all in one place, and they're just, you know, one day, single-day fairs from 10 to 3, but they are ways for people to get to sell really cool things. I mean, there are some creative people that are doing some nice making of stuff, unique items, one-of-a-kind items, and they can be things, you know, usable items too, and whether earrings, whether sometimes there's been clothing, sometimes there's, but meanwhile, you know, photos, photography or artwork on the wall,
right,
is nice too. Special touches to areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had, like at Treasures of the Earth, I've given some spaces to organizations. So like the zoo was there for them to share their programs. For a fundraiser for the zoo, they were having art classes at the zoo in March. But they have plenty of events going on. So the zoo was there, and then Bagot
Oh, Bagot Duluth?
Yeah, so I asked them to be a part of it, and they had their display of, you know, just realizing how much plastic bags there are.
Yes, it's kind of phenomenal.
One person actually makes envelopes out of old magazine pages or different things. So even with that, to give multi-use to something, like even a piece of paper,
Doesn't
have to be used once. It can be used again, or bags can be used more than one. There's been someone who takes plastic bags and does crochet. I think that's what it is, and then makes rugs, plastic rugs out of it. I bought a bag one year from one of the artist participants that took cassette tapes, the black ribbon, and crocheted that and made shimmering bags.
It was like
a little purse that shined with just that black shiny ribbon.
Oh, I love that. That's neat.
So people come up with things, and maybe some little digging on Pinterest or something for ideas.
Right.
But they go and do it and put some neat things together and have their own style.
I've seen bags and wallets type things made with like old plastic bags too, that they'll use a consistent color, so it's not just a blotchy color of things, but it's like, you know, all Target bags, so it's all that kind of red and white, or a one particular color of bag to kind of create a uniform color. It's just kind of neat.
One person makes bags out of bags, like a pet food bag.
Oh.
And then it's kind of water resistant already. She's made them out of chicken feed and big cat food bag, dog food, and you have the cute picture of the cat on the front.
Oh, interesting.
And they're sturdy totes. So whether to then use them for groceries or other carrying of stuff.
Yeah, I've never seen those, but that's clever.
She signed up for the July fair.
Well, I might have to go check it out. That's because I can imagine. I mean, those bags, they feel, they're hard to permeate, you know, they're hard to break.
Right.
So that means they're also really hard to break down. But if you can use them for something else, they'd be great for carrying around for groceries.
And if you set it down
groceries.
And it was wet in the ground, they, you know.
Wouldn't be a big deal. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I like that. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. Sweet. Anything else that you're doing that I'm missing in your collage of involvement?
That probably wraps it up.
Covers it up? Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't I have you give your websites and your phone number one more time?
My main website is www.wendyupnorth.com. And from there, there's a button of the local art and gift fairs that you can find out more about that. There is a calendar lower on that page, but you can find out more. Like, if you want to be a part of the fair as an artist, there's contact information, and then you can be on my list to get the notice early ahead of time for an upcoming fair when it's open. There's the button for Up North Excursions on there to find out the more detail of the trip departure time and cost and deadlines. So wendyupnorth.com. There's Dulcimers in Duluth for anyone interested in learning a little bit about dulcimers. And then lookatlakeside.com has all 40 some issues that I've put together for Lakeside newsletter, Look at Lakeside. And then for Facebook, I have Look at Lakeside on Facebook and Wendy Up North Local Fairs Facebook and Up North Excursions Facebook page.
Okay.
Phone number 218-525-5098.
Perfect. Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing. You're doing a lot of really neat stuff that is just doing a lot of great stuff for the community, keeping people connected, keeping us thinking local, and it's great. Well, thank you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for all the work you're doing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, the day trips are the newest thing I am trying to get going, and because I don't like to cancel a trip, but it's been very fun to have the people come together and get to go places and be together for the day. But I have fun with all the things I do.
Yeah, so people have to go check it out and take a look at the list of what you got coming up. And you know, this is a podcast, so somebody could be hearing this in 2022. And so they should take a look and see what you got going on.
Yeah, as I said before, I was kind of trying to come up with a name of what I do, and yeah, whether it's community enhancement organizer.
Right.
Of trying to create opportunities for people that enhance lives, add positive things to their day through arts, music, history, and nature.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing.
All right. Thank you.
Again, to connect with Wendy, her website is wendyupnorth.com. And if you want any of the additional information about connecting with her via Facebook, etc., you can look at the wellnessren.com website and click on the title of the episode, and you will get all of the show notes, including all of those links, etc. All right, I said I had a couple things to share with you. So this first one, Wendy turned me on to, and I thought I'd share it because it's interesting. So, like I said, she knows that I do some work with food sensitivities, and she passed this along, and that's something I haven't seen before. It's Prego, and it's the Italian spaghetti sauce. It's the sensitive recipe, and it has no onions or garlic. And on the information, it says it's good for low FODMAP diet. And I'm not super familiar with the FODMAP diet. It's something I haven't worked with incredibly. FODMAP, FODMAP, stands for fermentable oligodimonosaccharides and polyols. So we're looking at various forms of sugar here for the most part. It's a diet that typically people go on if they have digestive disorders or issues, and they're trying to figure that out. I know that's one reason. And again, this is not a diet I'm super familiar with. I've read a lot and forgotten a lot. But this is an interesting product. So I just want to toss this out there. First of all, in case somebody happens to need it and you are on a low FODMAP diet and you're looking for a spaghetti sauce, this is available. And again, so tomatoes are okay. They're a low FODMAP food. Onions and garlic are not okay. So thus, those are things that a lot of times show up in spaghetti sauce. But here's just something I wanted to toss out there that I just thought was interesting and I appreciate. So I'll be honest, I do not eat a lot of spaghetti sauce because I just don't eat a lot of spaghetti. If I have spaghetti, I have too much of it, and then going gluten-free, and it's just not a food that I eat a lot of. But this is what's interesting about this. So Prego, a brand that we see often, and as far as ingredients go, it tells us the ingredients, and one of the ingredients is sugar. And on a FODMAP diet, so this is interesting, if you read about FODMAP diets, it will say, you know, table sugar, which is basically what they're kind of saying is in here, is okay, but only about a tablespoon. So 3 teaspoons. So something to be aware of, this has 2 grams of added sugar. So you can consume a certain amount of this, but it's one of those things that, again, if you're on a low FODMAP diet, you need to be aware of how much you're consuming. It's not a diet that typically people go on if they don't need it, or they go on it and they try it for a period of time because it's complex and you can't just categorize food to stay away from. You literally have to really look at the list type of thing. But here's the thing that I just thought was really cool, and I give Prego some props for this. So it says, the ingredients from sugar and canola in this product are from genetically modified crops. And then they give you a way to go look at genetically modified crops. But I love that they say that they're from genetically modified crops. So yay, Prego, for actually labeling your food. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to be really clear. I am not promoting this product. I am simply calling it out as a product of interest. Again, labeling that they have genetically modified food in their food is fantastic. They listed that it's what sugar is added. It is in a plastic jar, so just so you're aware of that too. So there are things about this product that concern me. It's pretty low sugar, so there's that, which is a good thing. The fact that it's a plastic jar and the fact that it has genetically modified food, not my favorite, but we gotta make the decisions that we're going to make and do the best that we can where we can. So if you are on the FODMAP diet or you need no onions and no garlic, hey, maybe this is an answer for you. And again, don't know my sauces, so perhaps there are other brands that come in glass jars or don't have genetically modified food in them. If that is something you personally are concerned about, that come in different brands. So again, not trying to promote, just sharing information, doing something a little different this week. And the last thing I want to share with you is a phone app that a friend turned me onto called Insight Timer. And it is a free app for meditation and for sleep. They do have a purchased version, which you get classes and various other things, but there is so much available on this free app. It's phenomenal. I haven't even begun to explore a small percentage. I have used it though for, especially for going to sleep. I kind of want to try like the morning meditations, and there's meditations for kids and things like that. But there's meditations to get you going, get you in a positive mood and frame of mind. I've explored them a little bit, but not very much. I've really used it mostly for sleeping. And what I love is there's a lot of different options. So there's music, there's sounds, there are guided meditations with music, without music, different voices, so many different people. You know, it... My friend Linda listened to one of the meditations, and it was a creepy guy voice, and she didn't like that one, so we moved on to another one. But the point is, there are options, and if a voice is going to creep you out and freak you out and help you not sleep, don't do that one. So try it out before you lay down and go to bed and see what you think of it. But it's a great app. There's links. There are really long ones that are like way over an hour. There's 7-minute, like 10-minute ones. Honestly, I fall asleep pretty quickly with most every one of them. So there's only a few that I had a night or two that I was struggling with sleeping that I heard way more of them than I ever had before. But check it out. Look in your app store. It's called Insight Timer, InsightTimer. It's a free download. They also have actual timers, and you can choose like the little bong sound of different types of bowls and bells that you can choose to let you know that your time is up. So you could use that for a meditation of your own if you wanted to. And honestly, I'm sure there are ways that I haven't even figured out how to use it. I'm just saying there's some really cool stuff on there. So check it out. It doesn't like have a 7-day and then, hey, you've been using it for 7 days. They do have a 7-day trial for all the classes, but you get this app and you're not charged and you're not bugged about, you know, paying for it all of the time. I think it would be I'm happy to pay for it because I use it quite a bit, but I am just saying that it isn't something that you're constantly interrupted. They don't get you, 15 minutes into your nighttime meditation and putting you to sleep and then, hey, buy our app. Nothing like that has happened. So it's been a really nice experience with the app. So just wanted to share that if you are somebody who struggles with sleep, wants to meditate, or needs something else. Some people do just fine meditating without it, but some people kind of need a gateway into that, and this might be a good one for it. So do remember having your phones. Here I am promoting things that I have concerns about. This is one of those things that, having your phone when you sleep too close to you also can be a problem too. So if you can keep the phone away, I'm not blind to that. Certainly good sleep hygiene says keep all electronics out of your sleep space and see how that affects your sleep. But if you're not there, maybe this is something you can try. I don't think you can use it on the website, but I will put the website up there so you can take a peek. All right. Thank you so very much for listening. Please do check out the other episodes of the podcast and other topics at wellnessrenpodcast.com. Look for Wellness Renaissance on Facebook as well. Please interact with the posts, like the posts, share the posts. Easy way to share it with people that you know. Comment also as well. If you have tried the spaghetti sauce, if you're on the FODMAP diet and you want to share a little bit about that or your experience with Insight Timer or whatever the case may be, please feel free to do so. That'd be great. Love to hear from you guys. I get opportunities to talk to you in person, but I know there's a lot of people out there that I don't. So please, please feel free to check in on Facebook and say hello. Remember, if you are an Amazon shopper, to go to the wellnessrenpodcast.com website and look for Support the Podcast, and you're going to find the products and books and things that we have mentioned that are on Amazon. And you do not have to purchase whatever it is that you look at on the website if you don't want to, but whatever you do buy in that shopping trip, a little tiny piece of that goes to support the podcast, and we are really grateful. So the next time you are ready to make that Amazon purchase, whether it be a gift, a DVD, a CD. Remember CDs? Records? I think they're selling records on there too. Or a weed whacker, for that matter. Please, please do think of Wellness Renaissance and portal your way into Amazon that way. We really, really, really do appreciate it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. On that note, take good care, have a wonderful week, and may you continue to find pieces that fit beautifully into your health and wellness puzzle. See ya!